Good afternoon. Welcome to Ask the Vet. This is a call-in show, by the way. So if you do have any questions for us, I do need to get that phone number for you. But as soon as I get that, I will give it to you. Any questions, please feel free to give us a call. I am Beth Broom, sitting here with Dr. Sam Johnson. And today we're going to talk about horses. How are you, Sam?
I'm doing
Doctor. Johnson.
Sam's fine. Okay. I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you?
Good, thanks. Okay, so the call, the number to call in if you have any questions for Sam today is 963-2976. Any questions, any animals, doesn't have to be horses. So feel free to call with anything. So we want to talk about equine dentistry a little bit today. I think February is February is, you know, dental health month, and horses are somebody that I think, you know, we tend to focus on dog and cat stuff with teeth. And why is it important for horses to get regular dental exams, first of all, before we even get into actual dentistries? But why should we be having their teeth checked by a vet?
Well, I mean, for a variety of reasons, it's very similar to, basically, you know, our own teeth, which is, there's a lot of things that you can't see just simply by, you know, watching your horse and seeing how much they eat and seeing if they eat. I mean, there are lots of things that, you know, even as veterinarians, we're limited, by what we can see inside of a horse's mouth. And, you know, I think that, it's just important to just simply with the equipment we have, you know, with speculums and sedation and the ability to really look inside a horse's mouth and see all of their teeth. You know, that's something that you just can't really do as a horse owner, without those tools. So it just gives us a good overall view of what the horse's mouth looks like each time we look.
How often would you recommend a dental exam by a veterinarian, even just without, you know, sedation and things? Just how often should they have someone, you know, feeling in there or checking their teeth?
Oh, I think as far as, you know, just something as simple as, you know, palpation, you know, touching the outside of the mouth, being able to feel if you can, you know, feel any areas that are missing teeth, any feed packing, things like that. I think you should have your vet at least touch the outside of your horse's mouth, probably once every 6 months.
Okay.
I mean, same thing as us, right?
Oh, are we supposed to go every 6 months? Oops. Please don't call my dentist.
Those are going to be fakes.
Or maybe I should be. I know, all this coffee. So what is a... Talk to me about what a dentistry looks like for a horse when they do have problems, they do need their teeth worked on. What does that look like?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, most vets that I've been trained by and worked with, you know, I think one of the things that is a little bit of, an old wives' tale is that, you know, you have to basically, you only call us out if you need your horse's teeth floated, you mm-hmm. know, so... Well, you know, little squirt over here. She got her teeth floated, you know, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. and she hasn't been dropping feed. So there's been no need to check them. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is, I mean, you know, horses still need their teeth floated, even if they aren't dropping feed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's something that basically you go in and our first step is just to examine the mouth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't go into any...
Is that done sedated or awake?
I usually try to do it awake.
Okay.
And, you know, depending on what a horse will allow me to do, you know, I can feel the outside of the mouth, and certainly I can get to, you know, we have a numbering system, and typically I can get to at least the first cheek teeth and get a good look inside the mouth a little bit to determine if we need a full dental exam.
Mm-hmm.
But I never go into a dental exam saying, you know, I'm going to float this horse. Mm-hmm. You know, I always say, I'm going to look, mm-hmm. see what I find. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just had a horse yesterday that basically we opened the mouth and we saw that her teeth looked great and there's no need to float her, but, you know, it sure was good for them to come and have a look.
Right, because you never know, right?
Right. So then the next step of the exam is typically we say, oh, they got sharp points, mm-hmm. or they have a wave mouth. Mm-hmm. They have some sort of dental issue or something that needs a little bit of fixing up. And then we, at that point, that's when we usually go ahead and say, well, let's sedate them. Let's get a full look, make a plan for what we want to do. And then we go in there. Usually I use a power float.
Okay.
Which is basically a drill with a long, you know, head attached to it. And mm-hmm. then a little diamond burr at the end that is able to really grind down the enamel points mm-hmm. that cause the ulcers in your horse's mouth.
Just to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. So please feel free to give us a call. Ask Sam any questions animal-related that you have. The number here is 963-2976. So you said those points, points and things like that can cause, you said, ulcers. I mean, what kind of complications and problems can horses have? Just give us some of the basics that the dental, you know, that teeth can be like. What kind of problems
so
can happen in there?
So one of the big ones that I think you know all horse owners are familiar with is, you know, an abscess, some sort of mm-hmm, infection mm-hmm. of a tooth. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that a lot of people maybe don't realize is that it's not necessarily going to be where you'd think to look. You know, people right. a lot of people are looking in the mouth. They're saying, well, I haven't seen anything coming out of the mouth, so.
Oh, looks, we have a caller. That's Uh-oh. Great. Hello, caller. What can we do for you today?
Hi, this is Lisa Dunkey in Twin Lakes, Colorado, and I.
Oh, Lisa, call us back. I think we just disconnected somehow, but we'll take that call back whenever you're ready. Where were we?
Abscesses.
Thank you. Go ahead.
I think that, you know, a lot of people look in the mouth or they look for kind of your big basic things, dropping feed, mm-hmm. Not being able to put on weight, things like that, which are mm-hmm. great. But as far as infection goes, a lot of times nasal discharge, you mm-hmm. know, that's something yep. unilateral nasal discharge can be a huge sign of some sort of tooth issue. Mm-hmm. Their roots go. Oh,
and we have our caller again. Hi.
Hi, this is Lisa. I think I was breaking up before. I apologize.
No worries. What can we do for you?
So I have a quarter horse mare that has a black tear duct. And every day I go out to the barn and I clean it out and whatnot. And I'm wondering if you guys have any other remedies.
And has it been diagnosed as a black tear duct or you're guessing it's a black tear duct? Just curious.
I am guessing.
Okay. Sam?
Yeah, so basically horses do have it's called nasolacrimal duct, exactly, a tear duct from their eye to their nose. And a lot of times, you know, typically if it's something like this in the winter time where it might not be caused by inflammation, you know, you can get issues like that, like a blockage. But typically the best way to check for a blockage is actually just to try to flush it out. Have you tried that?
Okay. I have not yet. So that would be the next step.
And is that something she should do herself or have a vet come do for her?
No, I would not do that yourself.
Right.
Even under sedation, these guys really, really loathe having a piece of, you know, a catheter stuck up their duct.
Yeah.
I've gotten pawed a few times trying to flush out tear ducts.
Yeah. So that sounds like that's your next step.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you kindly.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
So just... Bye-bye. To remind everyone, so call and show 963-2976. Any animal questions, not just horses, please feel free to call. Back to.
Well, actually, I you know, that's actually a really good point, what she just brought up, because, you know, the other thing is that could easily be a tooth issue.
Right.
I mean, inflammation.
Ocular discharge.
Exactly. You know, inflammation from a tooth can easily kind of block that nasolacrimal duct.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can keep flushing those ducts and basically putting band-aids on the problem, but until you figure out exactly what's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
And equally, they can have an anatomical, you know, functional issue with that
right.
duct that they just can't flush out. But a lot of times, you know, vets will put steroids up in there to really
yeah.
decrease inflammation, and that will typically give a lot of horses relief.
Good. That's good. So, you know, besides abscesses, what other common issues are you seeing? I mean, I know some people are concerned, you know, when all of a sudden your horse isn't taking the bit the way it used to, you know, things like that. What do you think, in regards to dental health and if you see a change in their interest in their bit?
Well, you know, a lot of, you know, there are a few things that I think people have done in the past, that maybe before, you know, back in, I think up until like the 1990s, we didn't really have a great idea of equine dentistry. So there were a lot of things that vets would do that were associated, you know, with the bit that weren't necessarily actually benefiting, you know. And I think one of the things that I often offer to people before we go and try to change anatomical things within the horse's mouth is, well, why don't we try a different bit, you know? Because a lot of times people say, well, you know, we need to get a good bit seat, or we need a performance float. We need to fix this with tools rather than saying, well, why don't we just try the bit? And I think often, you know, that's cheaper for you. And it probably is better for the horse's dental health as well.
That's good. That's good. So, you know, you talked about floating a horse's teeth. Talk to me, and I guess this is a bit controversial, but talk to me about the difference between traditional hand floating from, I guess, even a lay dentist, and power floating.
Well, you know, it's really up to, I think that's up to the owner. I mean, I don't, I certainly, for someone who says, I hate power floating, you know, I say, that's fine. I'll do a hand float. And if someone says, well, I can't stand hand floating, well, that's fine. We'll do a power float. It's really, you know, I think there are benefits to each of them. Certainly with hand floating, you're not going to be probably sedating the horse as heavily, if at all. And, you know, it's a little bit less invasive. But really, I mean, if your veterinarian is using a power float, it's very likely they're well trained. And they know what they're doing. They know not to take off too much. I mean, we let our dentists stick power tools in our mouths, and
Know, that's why I haven't been there in a while.
I don't get sedated. You know, I just have
I wish
deal
I got
with
sedated.
It.
Right.
Yeah, give me the gas.
Exactly. Okay, well, that's good. That's good to know, because I think that the idea of power floating intimidates some people. But really, I think it's a good analogy with, you know, human dentistry as well. So talk to me about cribbing.
Well, cribbing, I mean...
Why do they do that? Ridiculous behavior.
You know, I think boredom is often something that, you know, it's really... A frequent occurrence due to boredom. I think it's a lot like a lot of our, you know, animals, that basically we need to give them something else to stimulate their mind. And, you know, if going and chewing on something, that typically seems to stimulate their mind. I mean, these are grazing plains animals that basically would eat for 16 to 18 hours a day. So, you know, I really think that...
Before you continue, actually, could you explain cribbing? Because I think I imagine I should have started with, what is cribbing? Go ahead.
It's basically, it's just the horseman's terms for chewing, like consistent chewing on a fence post or wood or a stall. I mean, they just...
And they look almost like they're sucking sometimes, too.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's really bizarre behavior.
And they can have, you know, pretty bad incisor issues. Cribbing can also be it can also lead to things like colic. I mean, there are certain types of colic that can basically be caused by cribbing. There's one particular one called an epiploic entrapment, where basically it's thought that because they're sucking air while they're trying to crib, it will actually get a piece of their intestine stuck. And surgery is typically the only way to stop that. Now, whether or not that is an old wives' tale is also up for debate. But I think that it certainly is not a behavior that helps anything.
Right. And so you don't think it's necessarily, I think some people think it's associated with dental health, but it doesn't sound like there's a specific link between the two. It's more of a behavior, unwanted behavior.
And, you know, there are things that people have tried. You know, there are things like cribbing collars, which is basically a leather strap.
I always feel like that looks really uncomfortable.
I've never worn one, I've heard mixed reviews.
Okay, moving right along. Okay, so, you know, as far as dentistry, first of all, did I miss anything that is glaring and important that horse owners should know about dental health? You know, be it preventative or, I mean, even senior dental health.
Well, I mean,
anything you want to touch on?
I think the main thing that I would say is that, you know, it's like a lot of things in the horse, which is, you know, we want to go and say and identify these individual problems that each horse has, and we want to be able to go and solve them. But typically it's kind of an overall approach. You have to look at the horse as a whole and realize that a lot of these things are connected. So, you know, teeth are connected to colic, that's connected to feed, you know, it's connected to exercise, and it's a well-rounded approach. And I think that's why, you know, having people who are really on top of their horse's health is pretty critical. And it starts with, you know, just general yearly or every 6 month checkups.
Right. That sounds like, I mean, I feel like they can develop points pretty quick and develop ulcers pretty quick and things like that. And that's why that 6 month check is really important. And just to remind everyone, this is a call-in show. Ask the Vet. Please call and ask Sam any animal-related questions you have. Doesn't have to be large animal. Number here is 963-2976. Okay, and then I guess the only other question, I mean, for someone who owns something slightly different than the standard horse, we're talking about minis, we're talking about donkeys, we're talking about mules, any of these a little bit different animals, is there any different dental recommendations?
Well, I think the recommendation I would have is to talk to the veterinarian that you're having come out and just make sure that they have the proper equipment to work on your mini or
especially
donkey.
Especially a mini.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing more lovely for a vet than, you know, having, you know, say, well, we're going to do dentals on three horses, and then you get out and it's three mini horses, and you say, well, actually, you need a different size speculum because they have different size heads.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I would just make sure that your veterinarian is ready and willing to do whatever's necessary. We have a question.
Yeah, we do have a question. What kind of effect does a Wi-Fi modem have on, what does that say?
Cats.
Oh, on cats inside the home.
Oh my gosh.
Is this a trick question?
What does the Wi-Fi modem, as far as like the Wi-Fi waves?
That's an interesting question. Is there any effect on a cat from waves from a Wi-Fi modem?
I mean, I think if our teenagers are still functioning normally after staring at those screens for hours upon hours in their bedrooms, you know, we're probably okay. The cats are probably doing okay. I wouldn't let them chew on it.
But what does it omit any type of sound, I wonder? I guess that would be the only difference. They can hear different frequencies than we can, I'm guessing, right?
This is above my pay grade, I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
Wi-Fi, yes.
Stump the Vet.
It. You did
Speaking
it.
Of Stump the Vet, I think that's where we're going to transfer to different horse questions. I kind of was sitting around thinking about questions I wanted to ask you today. And just so you know, if you do have any questions, please call in 963-2976. Ask Dr. Johnson any questions you have. Okay, I'm ready. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay.
if I get something I don't know, I'm just going to run out of the studio.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll answer it for you.
Sounds good.
Okay. How quickly can a foal walk after it's born?
Very rapidly. So basically, when it comes to foals, which I think we're still here in Colorado, we're still a couple months away from true foaling season.
Yeah.
But basically, the idea is 1, 2, 3. That's kind of our little rule of thumb. So they should stand within 1 hour, suckle within 2 hours, and then the mare should pass her placenta within 3 hours. And it's amazing how often people really focus on 1 and 2. And
not three is really important.
Number
actually,
three kind of seems to
super important.
Yeah. Well, but the foal stood and suckled, so.
It's a good point. Yes, yeah. I could see where you could focus on that.
I know. Okay. They are cute.
And they're walking directly after standing.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and they can still kick at that age, too. You learn that from experience.
Yes, they can. Actually, in related to sort of a back to the mouth area. Why is it that horses make that funny face where they hold their lips up? You know, some people think they're smiling or they're being silly. What is that? What are they doing?
So it's called a Flemin response.
Mm-hmm.
I believe humans used to do that. That's how we used to get wives back in the day.
Ooh, God, that's hot.
Yeah, it's...
That's what my husband did. Yeah.
Trying to do it right now.
Oh, look at you.
But basically, they have this organ. I'm going to say it's called a Jacobson's organ, but you're taking me back to vet school now. So
that was so long ago.
Yeah, it was. Years, months. Basically, it's a way that they can kind of smell and take in pheromones.
Okay.
And why some mares will do it? Good question, because it's supposed to only be in male animals, I believe.
Interesting.
Again, this is, I'm digging deep into vet school.
This is good for you. Are horses colorblind?
So they have a different spectrum that they see. Every animal has a different spectrum. I believe cats have more of a red spectrum. It's all about the different rods and cones within the eye and what type of rods and cones you have. This is my very indirect way of saying, I don't really think we truly know. I mean, it's based microscopically on what rods and cones we see and what we've tested to get. So
they see colors.
One thing.
Not the same as us.
Not the same. One thing that they do see that is kind of something pertinent to horse owners. Again, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, I don't truly know how colorblind horses are.
Oh, good.
But what I do know is that in the changing of light, they do not have great perception when it comes to light. So from, when in its dusk or dawn. And that's why we have lots of our little horse friends running into things.
Yes.
Because a plastic bag goes down the road and then, obviously they think it's a bear. So they run as fast as they can into the nearest fence post. And I think it also has to do a little bit with their vision. Mm-hmm. So they have really great peripheral vision being... You know, prey animals, they just don't have great low light or changing light perception.
So back to the mouth again. Can horses vomit? And do they breathe through their mouths solely? Can they breathe without breathing through the nose, like when they're really congested? What's going on there?
Okay, so no horses can't vomit.
No
so
vomiting.
That's the whole reason that you tube a horse is. In colic, basically what you're doing is you're trying to release any pressure built up in the stomach to prevent a rupture. So that's how we make them feel better is we vomit for them through a tube.
Always helps.
And when it comes to their breathing, no, you don't really see any open mouth breathing from a horse unless they truly have really obstructed airways. And then typically you're not going to try to unobstruct the airways. You're just going to cut open their trachea to allow them to breathe through their trachea. Mm-hmm. We had one tracheotomy this year so far. So kind of scary stuff, but they do great. I mean, they do really, really well. So it's much better than them,
dying.
Death's
yeah,
worse.
I mean, I think we have we don't have a caller. Never mind. Sorry. Thought I saw blinking. We do have a caller.
Uh-oh.
Hello. Thanks for calling in. You're on.
Yes, this is Mark. I'm calling from VNA, a national public opinion research firm. We are taking a short survey about local issues facing citizens.
Sorry, Mark. Colorado. Thank you. I'm sorry. I think you called the wrong number. Have a great day. Okay.
What if the survey was about horses?
I don't think it is. Okay, my final question for you is, tell me how much saliva approximately does the average horse produce per day? We're sticking with the mouth theme today.
2 liters, 2.1 liters.
2.1 liters? Well, crap, I didn't convert it. Is that your final answer?
I made that up.
10 gallons. 10 gallons.
So I think that's closer to...
what is that in liters?
6 liters?
I think it's more than 2.1. That's all I got.
Yeah.
2.1.
That's trivia.
It is trivia, but I thought
who collected their horse's saliva for a day?
You know, I don't know.
Was it Dr. Maker?
I think it might have been. I don't know. He has a mule. That might change it, actually.
Ah.
Yeah, he has a mule. All right. Thanks for listening to Ask the Vet. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you. Happy birthday, Martha.
Oh, Martha.